you know the news. For this Tuesday, May the 15th, 2012, for the journalists of Fox News, I'm Shepard Smith.
Blog Talk Radio.
Opinion and analysis.
I see some black people looking at me, man. It ain't us, it's the media. It ain't us, it's the media. The media has distorted our image to make us look bad. Why must you come down on us like that, brother? It ain't us, it's the media. Please cut the fucking dish, okay? 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 When I go to the money machine tonight, all right? I ain't looking over my back for the media. I'm looking for niggas, ish. Ted Koppel ain't never took ish from me. Niggas have. So you think I got three guns in my house because the media outside? Oh, it's Mike Wallace. Run!
Television's a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity and all the...
Mary had a little lamb, it bleated white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah! Ah!
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I help sinned against you.
And welcome back to Reese on the Radio. We are live on this, my brother's birthday, May the 15th, 2012. Turn 31 today. Happy birthday, brah. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday.
I'm proud of you. You're an adult. You got two kids. You got a great job. You try to save people's lives. You know, my brother's an EMT, and I'm very proud of him. Our family is very proud of him, and we should be. He's a really, really good kid. And I call him a kid. He's a grown man. But we're just very, very proud of him. He's a cut above the rest. We like him. We respect him. We care about him. You got to give me a second here. I apologize. Unfortunately, I got an air conditioner going, and it's just too loud for me. It's a distraction. I'm cutting it off, and I apologize, ladies and gentlemen, for having to do that. I should have done that beforehand. We've got a guest that's coming on the show tonight, and if we can get him on the phone, we're working really, really hard to get him on the phone. This gentleman by the name of Arthur Hayhoe. Arthur Hayhoe is... let me get his information here for you, which I should have in front of me, but I don't. He is the executive director of the Florida Coalition to Stop Gun Violence. By the way, we also have to get into Hot 97 in New York because they made the O'Reilly Factor today. Because some of the hip-hop generation is not feeling Obama and gay marriage. We'll get into that. But we're trying to get Mr. Arthur Hayhoe on the phone right now. JC, not having he seems to be working on this. The number that he is dialing, we seem to be having some trouble, but we'll get him on the phone. We got him for 30 minutes. We have two numbers for him. Let me see if I can get JC real quick. JC, you there? If you can hear me, JC, try to get him on the cell number. If you can't reach him on the first number, he was scheduled to be a guest on the show. He should have been.
Yeah, for some reason it's not going.
I'm sorry. Say
for some reason. What's up?
Say that again.
Okay, I did speak to him.
And
for some reason it won't go through on the phone system here, so I'm going to call him myself on my phone and patch him in.
Oh, okay. All right. Good.
Okay.
All right, so we'll have him on the phone shortly. My headset's not really working very well. I wonder why that is. This is
in my words.
Yeah, that's weird. I am not getting any audio. That's driving me up the wall. I can't hear my own self talk, which is never cool. Got to be able to hear myself.
In my words.
Okay, there it is. Right. I just want to make sure I got this right. Okay, so JC's going to patch him in through his line. We have to talk to Mr. Arthur Hayhoe because Arthur Hayhoe is trying to get guns off the street and out of the hands of citizens everywhere. And let me give you a little background because this will work perfectly to give you a little context. Says Arthur Hayhoe. He is, again, the executive director of the Florida Coalition to Stop Gun Violence. In his bio, he has been the leading advocate in Florida for gun violence prevention since 1987. He is considered by the press to be the most informed person in Florida on gun control issues. In 2005, he testified against the Stand Your Ground law, calling it an assault on public safety. His group has produced their own study of over 100 Stand Your Ground shootings. The NRA considers him to be the most anti-gun person in Florida, despite the fact that he owns a gun himself. Maybe we'll talk about that. He actively engaged in writing and speaking about gun issues in Florida. Mr. Hayhoe is able to expand on Stand Your Ground issues the press is unable to explain, and believes the NRA will soon control all firearms in Florida unless Stand Your Ground is repealed. So we have him on the line now. So please give a warm welcome to our guest tonight, Mr. Arthur Hayhoe, again, who is the executive director of the Florida Coalition to Stop Gun Violence. Mr. Hayhoe, thank you for joining us on the show today.
Glad to be with you.
Mr. Hayhoe, I'm gonna let you know right off the bat. You are not in a friendly place.
Okay, well, listen, one of the things we don't want to do is jump into the middle of the Stand Your Ground law.
I've been
involved in all aspects of this law since 2005. I can speak on all sides of it, but far too often people jump into the middle, and we get no opportunity to explain to them how this law ever got started in the first place.
Well, you know what? Let's do that since we have some time.
Okay.
How did the Stand Your Ground law start in the beginning?
Well, it was passed in 2005. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, we had a very good self-defense law. It was an old common law self-defense, and it was working fine here in Florida for 50, 60 years. But all of a sudden, the NRA decided this law was no good and we needed a new one. So this is what they did. They created this Stand Your Ground law. What's interesting about this is that nobody in law enforcement, the judiciary, prosecutors in the state of Florida were asking for a new self-defense law. They were happy with the one they had, but they ended up with the one that the NRA created, and the NRA created this for gun owners, not the man on the street.
Okay.
And, you know, it left a lot of very angry people, law enforcement, prosecutors, judges. Their duty is to administer and keep control of this so-called self-defense law, and they were shut out of it. They were not allowed to participate in its construction.
You're saying so? I think who exactly was shut out of it?
Everybody, the law enforcement, prosecutors, and the judiciary. They all went and screamed and hollered, "This law has serious deficiencies." But
well,
the legislature
let me stop you, Mr. Hayhoe. The government, see, you're first of all, let's start you off. You're misconstruing the reasons that we have certain laws in this country, they are to protect the citizens, not the prosecutor and the police department. They're government officials. Laws are put in place to protect citizens from its government. Is that not true?
It depends on what government you're talking about.
I'm talking about the United States government. Our Constitution.
Well, let's talk about Florida. I don't want to talk about federal government.
The Florida law.
The Florida legislature is controlled by the National Rifle Association, and this law was passed by 90 Republican legislators and representatives.
Well,
they wanted this law.
Frederica Wilson passed this law as well. She's a Democrat. Frederica Wilson signed this law. She did.
Yeah, one out of what?
No, 125? I'm just mentioning, you know, first of all, you swayed it. You said 90 Republicans, but you're not mentioning any of the
You want me to give you the – if you got time, I'll quote the people that voted for this, the senators and the representatives. This is an NRA law passed by
the
Republicans.
Signed the law.
This law is their problem. They created it.
Mr. Hale, first of all, let's not talk about this from partisanship.
Why not?
Because you started the 90 Republicans who signed it into law.
I'll give you – you want to know the 90 Republicans. That's exactly the number of state representatives and senators in the state of Florida.
Were there any Democrats, sir?
There were a few.
Well, who were they? Are they people who are screaming about the Trayvon Martin case? Frederica Wilson, for one? Frederica Wilson?
I don't know. We'd have to talk to them why they voted for it. Some of them were the blue dog Democrats that are still around. Others, for some reason, had to be caught in the corner. I can tell you that a friend of mine who's a Democrat who voted for it because he said, I can't be seen as being opposed to self-defense.
That's why he voted for it. Mr. Arthur Hayhoe, one second.
Yes.
Listen to this audio real quick, please.
Welcome back to Hannity. Now, as we explained in our last segment, Democrats not only refuse to practice what they preach, but they're also hypocrites when it comes to policy matters. And tonight, well, we have the perfect example. Now, during the height of the Trayvon Martin shooting, before all the facts were laid out, Democratic Florida Congresswoman Frederica Wilson was quick to jump in front of the TV cameras and fan the flames of hostility. For example, listen to this.
Now, I'm not going to be politically correct. I'm going to say it like I see it. Trayvon was hunted down like a rabid dog. He was shot in the street. He was racially profiled.
All right, now guess what? Back in 2005, when she was a Florida state senator, Wilson voted for the self-defense law that's called Stand Your Ground. And
your response to that, sir? This is
the
one.
Are we going to talk about this woman, or are we going to talk about Stand Your Ground?
We are talking about Stand Your Ground. A Democrat voted for it.
It was passed by an overwhelming majority of Republicans in Florida. That is a fact. F-A-C-T.
Why is that? I'm still trying to figure out why that's
that
a bad thing.
That is a fact.
Mr. Hayhoe, I'm still trying to understand why that's a bad thing. You say that as if it's a pejorative.
It's not a bad thing. What it is, it's the Stand Your Ground law is a state law. It's a simple state law, and it was passed by a huge majority of Republicans.
And that's a bad thing, sir? Why?
I don't agree with it, but that's the way it ended up.
Well, I'm only going based upon what it is that you said, Mr. Hayhoe.
Are we going to talk about this law, or are we going to talk in circles?
Well, no. I want you to tell me why it's a bad law. Explain to me why
it's not a bad law. It's simply a state law.
Okay, so what is your issue with the Stand Your Ground law?
It's a fraud.
Tell me why.
I think we should go and find out how this law got started first.
Let's go into why it got started. Sure.
It got started because back in 2005, the NRA wanted a law to protect gun owners. And this is what they came up with. You know, I've been around those people for a long time. You know what Marion Hammer was having a problem with? So many gun owners were coming to her and saying, hey, when I use this gun when I'm not faced with an armed predator, I'm getting charged with a crime. You need to do something about this. And that's what the Stand Your Ground law does. It expands the legal use of firearms in Florida. Now you know what the Stand Your Ground law is all about.
Okay, so you're saying that this law was to perpetuate gun owners,
To keep, it was to keep them out of the clutches of the local prosecutor.
Okay, and out of the clutches of the local prosecutor by doing what?
For using a gun when they to solve some kind of a personal dispute.
Do you think that law protects someone if they walk up to someone and shoots them? Is that what you think that the foundation of this law is? Is that what you're trying to express to me?
The foundation of this law is fraud.
Well, tell me.
It was sold that it would give you an upgraded self-defense law that will help you to defend yourself from robbers, rapists, and carjackers.
Okay,
but they didn't need that.
But are you saying that gun owners, legal gun owners in this country, are perpetrating violent crimes against citizens who are unarmed? Are you suggesting that?
No, I didn't. That the unarmed part of the law came from the NRA, not from me.
What I'm asking you is, if it's a law to protect gun owners,
yes, only because
do you believe that gun? So in that case, other people should own guns, correct? So that they have.
Well, it was designed for people who own guns and were using them, and so many of them used them to solve personal disputes. That the NRA had a problem on their hands. They wanted to protect these people and expand the legal use of firearms so that you could use this gun to solve personal disputes. We did a study of over 100 Stand Your Ground laws, and guess what they were? They were all disputes between two individuals. One was armed and one was not. That's all there is to it.
Okay.
This law is a fraud because it was designed to protect gun owners who are using the guns to solve personal disputes. So what they do, they change the law to make it legal for you to use the gun to solve a personal dispute. In other words, you can use it against an unarmed person.
Okay, so you can use a gun against an unarmed person, and that is what gun owners are using the gun for? I'm trying to understand where you're coming from. Because I think that there's an overwhelming group of gun owners who are responsible gun owners. It's the reason
But we're not talking about responsible gun owners. We're talking about this stupid law, which was created by the NRA to protect the minority of gun owners out there who are using this law when they got involved in a personal dispute. This protects them. This law expands the legal use of firearms.
So tell me
that's
the breakdown.
You know how the NRA expanded the legal use of firearms in Florida?
Yes.
With the Stand Your Ground statutes. They pushed the prosecutors out of the way with these Stand Your Ground statutes. That's why these prosecutors have been giving immunity to all these people when they use this gun when they got involved with a personal dispute.
But that wouldn't be the case with the woman who tried to use the Stand Your Ground law, who just got sentenced to, I think she's facing 20 years, the woman who shot
her. That's an entirely different course. Situation.
She,
that has nothing to do with the Stand Your Ground law.
She
should have taken the plea bargain. Did you read what happened to this woman?
No, she was offered a plea bargain. She did not take it because she wanted
He had a very stupid defense lawyer. He should have told her to take that plea bargain. This law has nothing. What she did and what she was involved in had nothing to do with Stand Your Ground.
Absolutely. Exactly. So what I'm saying is that clearly the courts could discern whether or not the Stand Your Ground statute played in her case.
The courts have been forced to dismiss these laws, these cases, because of the wording in the Stand Your Ground law.
So who is
that's why prosecutors have dismissed these cases because of the wording in the Stand Your Ground law.
Okay, so are you suggesting that there's an overwhelming amount of people who are using the Stand Your Ground law versus people who have – okay, so how many cases – against, in other words,
we only studied 100.
So 100 cases?
Yes.
Okay, and this is enough to ask for the state to rethink the Stand Your Ground law?
It sure was. When they looked at them carefully, they found out what we did. These were not people confronted with an armed predator. These were people solving disputes between two people. And
now,
that's what this law was created for.
When you're saying solving a dispute, are you saying two people inadvertently getting into a fight and then one person who owns a gun draws the gun and ends up solving the issue by shooting the other person? Is that what you're
whatever.
Saying?
All
okay,
kinds
so
of
whatever.
Disputes go on every day. We've had disputes over who had the best barbecue sauce. We've had disputes over where the property line was in the backyard. All these crazy things that normally go on with people, and it turns out one guy's got a gun, the other doesn't, and he shoots him.
What would you – okay, so if you were to change, would you get rid of the Stand Your Ground law altogether based on these 100 people? These 100
I would – we've asked – you know, when this law was first passed in 2005, I went to the first Senate hearing and said, this law is a right to commit murder bill, and I've been proven right. What we want is to repeal this law.
And how do you expect to do that?
I don't know. We'll have to go to – it has to be done by the legislature. Two people have already asked for a special session from the governor to do that, and he's refused.
Mm-hmm. I got a Twitter from our friend Mike in Florida, who I'm actually going to bring in. He says, you might want to tell Mr. Hayhoe that the Florida Senate passed that law 39-0.
That's fine. I was talking about the total of the Senate and the House.
But wait a minute. If the Florida Senate passed it 39-0, this was an overwhelming vote. This is.
That's it, right. They all wanted it passed. That's why they voted for it. What the hell are you talking?
Are you telling me that the Florida Senate was 39-0? Are you telling me that the Florida Senate was just Republicans?
Yes.
So it was just 39 Republicans.
We're a Republican state. Our legislature is about 85% Republican total, and only a small number of Democrats.
Let's bring in Mike from Florida. He's a contributor on the show often. Mike, thank you for calling us up. Do you have a question for Mr. Hayhoe?
I would like Mr. Hayhoe to elaborate a little more on what he considers a personal dispute. Because I happen to live in a county, I think he's referring to one of our Stand Your Ground cases about a dispute over the property line, and I know the inside scoop on this Stand Your Ground shooting.
That's nice. So do I. I investigated every one of them. They were all kinds of disputes, not property lines, over the dog, over who was saying who was
– I want to address –
stupid things that people do.
Mr. Hale, let him ask the question.
Sir, I want to address a case that happened in Citrus County, Florida. I'm sure you researched this one. I believe it is the one with a property line dispute. Two neighbors had a history of problems. One neighbor
sounds familiar.
One neighbor was a commercial fisherman with a history of assaulting his neighbor. He had assaulted his neighbor twice. And when he ended up actually getting shot, it's when he came into the man's yard to physically confront him when he was drunk a third time and got shot.
Who made the decision on that?
But wait a minute. Now, Mr. Hayhoe.
The state's attorney.
Hold on.
Mr. Hayhoe.
Hold on one
second. The state's
attorney
took it because he was pushed into the corner by the wording of this law.
But Mr. Hayhoe, listen to what he's saying. The bottom line is.
I'm not saying that, you know. This law was written.
But
so
Mr.
Hayhoe,
this is a case where someone was repeatedly harassed by the neighbor.
Nothing to do with it.
But wait. You're talking about solving personal disputes with gun violence. He's
right.
You
and
a
the
case.
Prosecutor looked
this,
at it, and what did he decide? He was in a bind because he couldn't charge this person because of the Stand Your Ground law.
No charges because it was a legitimate self-defense case, sir.
That's what he called it because of the wording.
Sir, Mr. Hayhoe, is
the man supposed
to take
a... He said I was frightened and I had to protect myself.
Sir, I know you're not from the South. I know you're from Lansing, Michigan, so you're not really aware of decorum and manners.
I've lived here for 30 years.
And you're not born here, are you, sir? So you don't really have an understanding of manners and decorum. May I make my point?
Yeah, I don't know what it has to do with the statute.
Sir, sir, is the man who shot the irate, violent neighbor supposed to take a third violent assault? Is that what you think?
It depends on what the law says. We're talking
the
about
law
what
says
the law
he was
says.
In
what
the right
does the law say in these situations?
Even a self-defense law would allow a shoot in that case, sir.
It may well, and then the stand your ground might not have anything to do with it.
Hold on one second, Mike. Mr. Hayhoe, now let's go back to what it is you said about 100 cases. I understand
yes.
that you investigated 100 cases.
Yes.
This is a perfect example Mike brought up, one that he knows personally, where this was a person who is repeatedly harassed by his neighbor, comes to his yard drunk to his property. The gentleman decides to pull out his gun and shoot him because he is obviously incoherent. Is he what is he supposed to do? Stand your ground is supposed to protect him from
but
that
I don't
kind
know.
Of... But no, it doesn't matter whether or not... No. It doesn't matter whether or not you know, Mr. Hayhoe. The bottom line is that when you don't know, and then when you broad stroke...
Ah, yes, broad stroke.
No.
I'm broad stroking 100 cases that I examine.
It doesn't matter whether or not you've investigated 100 cases. Is that when you're broad... See, this is a case-by-case basis. And what we're saying,
yes.
what we're saying to you is that you can investigate 100 cases, and you can use a term like people solving personal disputes. This case, as Mike just brought up, was a personal dispute. Under your definition, it was a personal dispute. But the circumstances warranted him to use lethal force.
I don't know. I don't have the particulars.
Then you cannot.
I haven't read the report. I haven't read the law enforcement report or seen what was happening. They may have decided that the stand your ground had nothing to do with it, that it was just simple self-defense.
So what are the police in Florida saying about each and every one of the cases that you investigated that had to deal with personal dispute? Are they saying that there was harassment? Are they saying that they were...
Everything under the sun.
But, okay, so you're saying that as long as if it's personal, if it's a personal dispute, regardless of the circumstances, those people should not be allowed to use stand your ground. And you
No, I didn't say that.
Are you saying that you don't bother to investigate?
If it comes to the stand where the prosecutor thinks it's stand your ground, then let the jury decide.
Okay. Are you
look
no,
like
okay.
the Trayvon Martin case?
Yeah,
I know a lot about that case, but I won't go there. Let the jury decide.
I'm glad you brought up the Trayvon Martin case because that was in the information that I received about you today with the Trayvon
yes.
Martin case. What are your views in the Trayvon Martin case? Do you believe that the stand your ground law should not apply for George Zimmerman?
No, I don't believe it. The judge doesn't believe it. That's why he will lose that immunity. The judge has ruled that he will not get stand your ground protection. That's over with. It's going to go as a simple self-defense prosecution.
When did that ruling happen? There's been a stand your ground hearing already?
From what I hear, yes.
When was this? There can't be a stand your ground hearing. Just today it was revealed that Trayvon Martin had, from the coroner, that Trayvon Martin had marks on his
forehead. I don't know. That's not interesting to me.
Why wouldn't that be?
We know what's going to happen with this law.
Tell me what's going to happen
with this. The judge is going to dismiss it just like they dismissed the Dooley case.
And why do you think it's going to be dismissed? Do you think it's going to be dismissed for the right reasons or the wrong reasons?
It's going to be dismissed by a judge. That's his reason, not mine.
Okay, but you're following...
In fact, at the time this thing blew up, I was down there. And
okay.
this case was very close to being dismissed as justifiable a shooting. It was very close to that. But it didn't happen because the thing blew up and everybody's... In everybody's case.
Okay, so you do not believe that George Zimmerman had the right to shoot Trayvon Martin?
I don't know. I haven't seen the facts. And if he did, This is something a jury has to decide.
A jury has to decide what?
Why are you people? Why do you people don't like juries?
No, I don't have a problem with the jury.
The problem was that what was happening in Stand Your Ground law, these cases were all being dismissed, and they were being decided by the NRA, not a jury.
No. First of all, it's not decided by the NRA.
It is.
If the law says that in this case, and let's take the George Zimmerman case, if George Zimmerman can prove that he was beaten, if George Zimmerman can prove that he was on the ground, if George Zimmerman can prove that he was bludgeoned, if George Zimmerman can prove he has black eyes.
Let the jury decide. Give the evidence to the jury and let them decide. I'm not going to walk in and decide that based on what you're telling me. This is what these people want to do. They want to pick pieces out of this law and say, because of this, he should be able to defend himself. I don't know. Let the jury decide. And I think for sure that's where it's going to end up, with a jury. Did you follow the Trayvon Dooley case?
Not particularly.
The judge just dismissed it, saying there was no evidence that this kind of force was needed. I can't think of the name of the judge. Moody said dismissed the case on Dooley, saying that there was no evidence that this kind of force was justified. That was what was happening in the Trayvon Dooley case and a lot of others.
So what are you hoping? Do you think that with an overwhelming support of legislature in Florida who voted for the Stand Your Ground law?
Right.
What are you hoping that you can do to remove that law?
Get it repealed.
How do you get it repealed? What are your plans?
You have to have a special session of the legislature, and that's very difficult to get.
And you believe that
we may have to end up with
100 cases that you studied can prove that the Stand Your Ground law is allowing people to use deadly force for personal beefs.
Do you want to get the legislature to propose a bill and pass that? Of course, they'll never do it.
I want the legislature to listen to the people in their districts. That's what I want them to do.
I guarantee you they'll be hearing from them.
Well, what will they be hearing from them? That we don't want people to have a Stand Your Ground law?
The Stand Your Ground is an unfortunate misnomer. It has nothing to do with Stand Your Ground.
So are you – okay, well, you have a position on gun violence in this country, and you believe that it's at an alarming rate. Is that your position?
Pretty much.
And why do you feel that way? Because I happen to agree with you, but I think for different reasons. I think gun violence in this country is perpetrated by...
But we're not talking about gun violence. We're talking about the Stand Your Ground law.
Well, actually...
Let's talk about the Stand Your Ground law.
According to the information that I have on you... Okay, you said if America had stricter gun control, the question they were asking me to ask you was, if America had stricter gun control, would that stop people from purchasing them on the black market? Would this effectively stop gun violence? So it appears
it would
to
help.
Me, okay, so you're an advocate for gun control. Is that not fair to say?
I have been from day one.
Okay, so forget about Stand Your Ground, because as far as I'm concerned, Stand Your Ground's never going to be repealed, whether you like it or not. And you can blame the NRA.
You know, there's a possibility that I probably would agree with you, but there is going to be some changes made. I can guarantee you that.
Well, there may be some changes made. The Trayvon Martin case will definitely create that, but you know what it is that they're doing. What's being done by liberals and people on the left is that they're not even talking about Stand Your Ground. They're talking about curbing guns in this country. They're talking about attacking the Second Amendment in this country, the right to bear arms. They're using Trayvon Martin to have stricter gun laws in this country.
The Trayvon Martin case has nothing to do with the Second Amendment. The Stand Your Ground law is simply a simple state law.
I'm aware of that.
It has nothing to do with
if that were
Stand
the
Your Ground.
If that were the case, Mr. Hayhoe, and by the way, if you're just joining us, we're on the phone with Mr. Arthur Hayhoe. He is, and I want to get your company, your group, right? You are the executive director of?
Yes.
The executive director of the Florida Coalition to Stop Gun Violence. Now, again, that you're the executive director to stop gun violence by more gun control. You know, so yeah, with more gun control.
Where did you learn to debate in high school?
No, actually, I didn't. So
we're talking about the Stand Your Ground law and whether this law is a law that's out of control and allows people to get away with murder. And we got plenty of cases where they did get away with murder because of the language in that law.
The information I have on you, Mr. Hayhoe.
We're not talking about me. We're talking about the Stand Your Ground law.
Okay, fine. Do you want to stick with the Stand Your Ground law? That's fine.
We'll stick with the Stand Your Ground law.
Let's stick with the Stand Your Ground law.
What happened down there? What happened down there when the police came in with Zimmerman?
When the police came with Zimmerman, they talked.
What happened? I'll tell you some things that you probably don't know.
Tell me some things that
Guess
I don't.
What? Our state's attorney general called and told the police not to arrest Zimmerman.
I'm aware of that.
Not many people know that. It's finally gotten out. Why did Pam Bondi do that? To protect the Stand Your Ground law.
Well, actually, that's not true. In fact,
we could disagree.
No. You're glazing over a litany of things about that. See, I've been covering the Trayvon Martin case from the get-go. Okay, yes. The bottom line is that, yes, the state attorney, okay, that you are referring to, you're forgetting the fact that two police officers not only said that that his story, quote-unquote, his story appears to be he was standing his ground, but one officer there said that he should be charged with second-degree murder. Thirdly, how many times, and if this was, quote-unquote, just, you know, brushed away, why did George Zimmerman end up back at the police station three other times before he was prosecuted?
I don't know. And, probably
if we get to the jury,
they'll have to sort it out.
You're saying, see, again, you're suggesting that this was just wiped clean by the state.
I don't make the law here in Florida.
But I know, but see, you're suggesting that it was wiped clean and George Zimmerman was just allowed to go.
No, I never said any such thing.
Okay, again, I followed this case, like I said, intimately. It was revealed when George Zimmerman finally spoke at his hearing, at his bail bond hearing, when he got on the stand. It was revealed by the lead detective that George Zimmerman had spoke to the police department on three separate occasions. And the reason why was because they wanted to fact check everything he said at the scene when they addressed him, because there were some people didn't believe him. So
And all that will come out and the jury will consider it.
No, you suggested, your words, not mine.
I'm not suggesting anything. I'm suggesting what you're telling me are just things that are going to be considered by the jury.
No, but see, again, but you suggested from the beginning of this, okay, that the Stand Your Ground law just lets people get away with it. And the truth of the matter is that in according to the George Zimmerman case, they didn't just let him go away. It wasn't revealed until he had his bail bond hearing that he had met with the police department three other times, other than the 1990s.
So when these things get ironed out, the jury will take a look at it and find out if it has any relevance.
Mr. Hayhoe, for you to suggest that
we're not establishing facts.
Well, I'm establishing facts because facts make a point here.
Those are opinions, and that's something the jury's going to have to look at.
This was evidence.
The jury can reconstruct exactly what happened when he came into the police department happened there.
The lead detective in the case testified.
I don't care.
Well, you're saying
what
that
the lead detective says. That's all going to be rolled into the trial, and they'll make a decision based on that.
Mr. Hayhoe,
have you ever been to any trials? You know what they do. They establish the facts.
Mr. Hayhoe, they leave the rest to a jury. Mr. Hayhoe, I was on trial a year ago, in March of 2011.
I've been through lots of.
I know the ins and outs of a trial. I know the ins and outs of defense,
fine,
prosecution. And what
so
I do,
when the jury made their decision, you must have been happy with it.
Well, I was extremely happy because I was innocent.
Fine.
But the bottom line is that
that's
what
the problem with the stand your ground law. It removed the jury.
It's not removed it in this case. In fact, it didn't even.
It may not in this case, but it has in a lot of cases in Florida.
I understand that, but you're saying how the Trayvon Martin case. You're saying that the establishment of stand your ground allowed George Zimmerman to walk until we've reached the point that we are now, allowed him to walk. But we've all learned that that was not the case at all. When the police
read the statute, read the statute.
It doesn't matter what the statute is.
The statute says that.
This case, you have to deal with the facts, Mr. Hale, whether you like it or not.
One of the facts was the statute. The statute is a fact. Everyone is going to be able to look at it.
Mr. Hayhoe, the statute,
yes,
case, the statute in this case did not apply. If George Zimmerman were just allowed to walk, and then Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, listen, if Al Sharpton,
well, that's what everyone is saying now. The NRA is saying, oh well, you know, this situation didn't apply to stand your ground. This was not a stand your ground defense.
No one gave.
Isn't that strange?
No, no one believed that it was a stand your ground case. Nobody in the police department did. If they did believe it, they would have never brought
that's probably true, and that's why they were about to dismiss it.
What are you talking about to dismiss it? About to dismiss
it. This is what happens to all these cases. When this first exploded in Florida, I was sitting here saying, oh, here's another case, a shooting, no witness, it's going to be dismissed with complete criminal and civil immunity to the shooter, because I've got six more just like it on my desk where they were dismissed. So why should I think that law is any different? I don't know exactly what happened there, but it blew up in everybody's face.
That's not the case at all. But look,
well,
we can
dispute that, but you know what my goal is to get these cases back to a jury. So many of them have been discussed, dismissed. I've got a half a dozen of these people where there were no witnesses, and all charges were dismissed because there were no witnesses. I'll tell you one over here in Ozona.
Please.
Where the man went out to speak with his neighbor, and they heard bang, 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 and they went out there and found him dead. The sheriff came over and said, nothing I can do. Because there was
was he on the shooter's property, the dead man?
Doesn't make any difference.
Well, of course it does.
When you kill somebody, it doesn't make any difference.
So wait. Okay, so
that's a civil matter, my friend.
Mr. Hayhoe, again, yes. If you just joined us, we're on the phone with Arthur Hayhoe. Mr. Hayhoe, let me ask you this: Michael Dukakis, you're familiar with him, right? Former governor of Massachusetts, Michael Dukakis.
Well, I've heard of him. I don't know much about him.
Okay. Michael Dukakis, decades ago, I can almost go a generation ago, suggested that homeowners, if someone were to break into their home, right, if a person should break into your home, that instead of you defending your home, you should leave the premises and allow them to roam through it and contact the police.
I have no idea.
Okay, no. I'm just saying. I'm giving you a scenario.
I don't care about scenarios like that. I only care about the stand your ground law here in Florida. I don't know anything about Mr. Dukakis.
Mr. You have to at least let me finish my point.
Go
according on. To stand your ground, if somebody comes on my property and they're threatening me, Mr. Hale, are you suggesting that I have no right to defend myself?
It has to be – what happens depends on what the law is in that state at that time.
Well, I'm asking you. Forget about the state. I'm asking you what
there,
you –
You know, there is a Castle Doctrine aspect that was added to our old self-defense law a long time ago.
Mr. Hayhoe.
Before 2005, we had what we call an old common law of self-defense, which required retreat.
You're arguing to stand your ground law, but you are not even giving me a scenario that you would rather see.
at least a statute you'd like to see. If you don't
well,
like,
I'm not writing statutes. I'm just dealing with the one that's been passed. That's
well,
causing
then, wait,
so
wait,
many
wait.
Problems.
If you're not in the interest of protecting people, if you're, are you only interested in getting rid of the law, but you have no alternatives, you have no solutions, you just found the
we're
problem.
We're not. We didn't. I'm not going to go there because that's not what this is about.
Of course,
this is about the Stand Your Ground law and whether it's a right to commit murder law.
Okay,
it
so
is.
Wait. So it's a right to commit murder.
I can give you some cases where exactly that is happening.
I understand.
You want to know how to kill somebody in Florida legally?
You don't.
Gun them down, call the police, and when they come, say, I felt threatened for great bodily harm or death, and you will not be charged.
Well,
it's working, and I can show you cases where the police said, we knew this guy was going to do this, but there's nothing we can do.
Are you suggesting that can happen anywhere? You're telling me that no circumstance?
Well, I don't know. I've got one just like this I told you about. It's over here. They were having trouble with their neighbor. He said, I'll walk out and talk to him. And he did, walked out behind an outbuilding, bang, bang, bang. They ran out there and found him dead on the ground. They called the sheriff, and the sheriff refused to do anything because of the wording of the Stand Your Ground law. Now, I know this woman. She calls me and cries about her son on a regular basis.
So what?
I don't know. That's because of the Stand Your Ground law.
So you're telling me that she cries? So what?
Let's let the jury figure it out. I like juries. They make decisions.
I get that you like juries, okay? But let's not give some people some undue brains that they have not earned, okay?
Oh.
The bottom line is, I don't care whether first of all, people are people. I always say individuals are smart, people are idiots. You get them in a group, they panic, they react.
Could be.
That's the way people. No. That is the way people behave. People behave. You get an individual, they'll think independently for themselves, if they're lucky. But you get people in a room, they're idiots, because nobody knows how to think for themselves.
So what are you trying to tell me?
What I'm trying to tell you is don't give me this crap about whether or not you want a jury to decide. Juries decide on emotion.
Okay, you don't like juries.
No, I'm not saying that I don't like juries.
That's what you just said.
I am not putting somebody's
well,
life.
Whether or not it'll go to the jury depends upon the law in that particular state.
What I'm asking for, Mr. Hayhoe, is proper police investigation. This is what we don't have in this country. We don't have
this law inhibits it. This law, in so many words,
creates a problem for the police in investigating these shootings. To suggest that a police officer walks up to a person who shot another man or woman, whatever it is, and says, oh, he came on my property, my life was threatened, I didn't know what to do, I had to shoot him, and a police officer says, all right, I'm out of here, see you later, call a bus. Is that what
if somebody makes that statement, I felt threatened for great bodily harm and death, and I had to defend myself, you know what that statement is? It cannot be challenged in any courtroom in the state of Florida.
Are you telling me it never reaches a courtroom? Are you telling me
because it can't be challenged there.
Okay, so where is it challenged? Are you telling me that every person who's ever shot someone who says that they were in fear of their life, that they were in some duress, that they were fearful?
If there were no witnesses.
Oh, so they could just tell the police, I shot him, I was in fear of bodily harm or death. And the police officer
How many cases would you like exactly like that where the prosecutors gave them complete criminal and civil immunity? Yeah. How many cases would you like?
And please tell me, how many out of 100 that you've investigated happened exactly like that, sir?
About 15. That's the same list I gave to CNN and MSNBC. And also a couple of other places.
You said
those are the worst of the worst. They're out there, and the family's very upset because the prosecutor won't prosecute because there were no witnesses.
Mr. Hayhoe, did you just use the numbers 1 and 5, 15?
Yes.
Are you kidding me, Mr. Hayhoe?
No, I'm not kidding you. I've got the files, but I'm not going to get into that.
No. I'm asking you, are you kidding me that you want to change a state law that protects people whose lives are in danger?
It doesn't protect people.
Why not?
This law doesn't protect anybody. It makes everybody less safe. Because,
well,
you know, when you look at all these shootings out here, you look at all these shootings, and what do we find?
Tell me.
Floridians are shooting each other.
Really?
They're not shooting criminals. They're not shooting carjackers, home invaders. They're shooting each other.
And the overwhelming evidence of that is, Mr. Hayhoe?
There's a ton of it.
Please, but, you know, tell me how many cases there are where people are just running around killing each other. Please, Mr. Hayhoe, usually we usually respond to things like that when they become an epidemic. Are you suggesting that there's an epidemic in the Stand Your Ground law in Florida? An epidemic has ensued?
Yes.
Please, in 100 cases?
Don't you think that 15 people shot dead is an epidemic? What would you call an epidemic?
You said
two,
15,
three?
Sir? 15?
One would be an epidemic if they were protected by the Stand Your Ground law.
Mr. Hayhoe.
Yes.
Mr. In Camden, New Jersey, back in 2004.
Don't tell me that.
I'm not
interested in what goes on here in Florida.
No. I understand.
I don't know anything about
the circumstances
in Camden, New Jersey.
In fact, I apologize. In West Philly, I apologize.
I have no idea what's going on in West Philly. I don't know what the local law is there. I don't know what the self-defense law reads. Why do you give me stuff like that?
Finish, please.
But
Mr.
I know
Hale.
What it does in here in Florida. That's what I want
to... Mr. Hayhoe, please let me finish. If you suggest that 15 of these shootings is an epidemic, Mr. Hayhoe, and I tell you that in the first 100 days of 2004, the first 100 days of 2004, there were over 243 shootings in poor West Philadelphia. And you
can
tell me
imagine.
That's not an epidemic? 70 people were shot in Chicago a month ago over the weekend. Even one being a six-year-old girl.
So what's that got to do with Stand Your Ground law?
Wait. First of all, that's illegal gun use, Mr. Hayhoe. And you're talking about a law that protects legal gun owners, and that's supposed
to
take...
No, it doesn't protect legal gun owners. It puts them in jeopardy.
No. It protects legal gun owners. The Stand Your Ground...
No, it does not. The Stand Your Ground law does not protect legal gun owners.
It protects illegal gun owners?
It places them in jeopardy.
Wait. How does it
I'll
place...
give you an example. Would you like an example?
An example.
I have calls from certain labor unions, and there are people going to houses to take care of things in houses, you know. And they say, we're scared to death of this law, because if I knock on the front door and no one answers, and I go around and to the back door and I encounter... the homeowner with a gun, he has absolutely nothing to lose if he guns me down with this self-defense, with this Stand Your Ground law. And that's exactly what's happening. That's why those people were so frightened. Do you want to talk to the police? The police are one of the few organizations that got some changes in this law. They were concerned that they now get a call to go into a house and protect a homeowner. They no longer were protecting a homeowner with a gun. They were protecting a Stand Your Ground gun owner who had absolutely nothing to lose if he shot the police. That's why the police changed the statute. And it says in so many words, you can't shoot the police.
All right.
This is why the sheriffs were upset because they're out there trying to stop people at night in dark places. And they, you know, they're going to stop this guy, and he's going to think I'm a threat.
Mr.
Hayhoe, this law is a threat to law enforcement. They recognize it. It's a threat to people who stumble into a situation they don't understand.
The law has been around since 2005, and you came up with 100 cases, and you came up with 15 cases where. Someone shot someone and was just able to
Well, there's
to
a lot
say,
more than that, but we didn't study them. There's some other people who went even further. They went up to 100, but I don't know what they found. They found the same thing. The reason we stopped at 100 because we didn't see anything new. It was the same old stuff. two people.
Well, you know what? I'm going to follow more information about you. This is Mr. Arthur Hayhoe. Please, do you have a website that I can go to so
I can read some
of your data?
No, I'm not going to give you my thumbnails. Why should I give them to you?
All you're going to do is
distort them.
Mr. Hayhoe, we thank you for your time, sir. I appreciate you staying.
Anytime you want to talk about Stand Your Ground, there's going to be some. This will go on for several months.
Oh, I'm sure it
maybe
will.
Maybe until after
it
the end of the year. Because we're absolutely convinced. We're putting our folks together. We're going to get this stupid law repealed. But I think you're right. That's going to be pretty hard to do it. But we'll turn it into a toothless dog.
Well, okay. We'll definitely follow. We'll follow the Stand Your Ground law. We have been here on Reason Radio. Arthur Hayhoe, again, you can look him up and read any information you like about him. He is the executive director. He is on Facebook. He is the executive director of Florida's Coalition to Stop Gun Violence. Thank you again for your time. We appreciate it, sir.
I had fun. I hope you did.
I did. I always have fun.
If you want to talk to me again, let's talk about Stand Your Ground.
I will call you. I promise you I will call you again. I promise you I will call you again, without a doubt. Again, thank you for your call. JC.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you. I don't know. James, Kool-Aid Man's been on the phone holding. Thank you for doing that for a while, James. I'm sure you probably wanted to chime in.
I was just really enjoying the conversation, so.
Am I out of my mind here, or is this man wacko?
I don't know if you're out of your mind. I do think the Stand Your Ground law needs to be better defined.
Okay, I'll even go there. But he wouldn't even give me that. He wouldn't give me what it was that he would redefine it as, like what law he would change. He just wants the law done and over with, and he's just pulling these numbers that are minuscule at best, infinitesimal at best.
That's out of 100. That's what, 15 out of 100 is.
He said 100 cases he had altogether. 15 dealt with no witnesses, where a person just said, well, I was in fear of my life and in danger, so I shot him. He counted 15. That's not enough to change a statewide law. That legislation voted 39 to nothing. 39 to nothing. Let's get Mike on the phone. Mike, I apologize. I had to cut you off, but I wanted to get into this guy's head. Was he a kook or what?
I think he might have been a little senile, man, if I was going to guess.
I don't think he was senile, though.
He made absolutely no sense with his "it goes to a jury" comment, because the way the law is written, it's not up to the police to decide who's going to get charged. It's up to the state's attorney. That's the way it works. That's how we decide what goes to trial. It's not up to the cop. It's up to the state's attorney.
Right, and you know, him making that suggestion that the state's attorney just wiped George Zimmerman's George Zimmerman says, well, you know, I shot him in self-defense, and the state's attorney said, all right, then we're just, you know, we're not going to do anything about it. Turns out that wasn't true at all.
Well, not entirely reason. I wouldn't say that.
No, it wasn't.
I have issues with that.
He was investigated by the police department three other times other than the initial time when they brought him back, you know, right after the shooting. They brought him to the police.
Yeah, but unless we know the dates of those three times, and the other two times that he was investigated didn't come after the fact of all the media outrage, if they came after the fact, then of course, yeah, I understand. I kind of understand what Mr. Hayhoe was saying.
Well, now, the actual, not the Attorney General. The Attorney General was Pam Bondi. But the state's attorney, who was in whatever county that is, Collier County, I think, said that they weren't going to prosecute this case because it fit the standard of self-defense. And basically, they're not going to go after a case they can't win. And if you see what Matt Gutman released today, he said that ABC has the medical report from Zimmerman's doctor, who he saw the next day. And gosh, guess what? Zimmerman had a broken nose, two black eyes, and cuts on the back of his head. And the autopsy report on Trayvon Martin shows that his knuckles were bruised and scraped.
Exactly.
That's what the state's attorney saw, and that's why this thing wasn't going to be charged in the first place.
Bottom line. That's exactly the point I was trying to make.
There still should have been an investigation before deciding not to charge him. And because that law is in place, there was no investigation. I mean, I'm not sure where I heard it from, but I heard that there was they found a second shell casing. There was more than one shot.
No, that's been disproven.
Yeah, I'm not sure where I heard it from.
But
is that when they confiscated his Kel-Tec PF9, the fired case hadn't even ejected from the chamber, which was indicative of the muzzle of the gun being pressed right up against somebody.
Huh. Right, I did hear that.
Yeah, right. Okay, then that to me makes sense. I mean, I didn't read that, or nor did I hear that. But I'm still having problems. I'm having a problem with this whole self-defense thing in Florida because it seems like Florida self-defense works differently from everywhere else.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't know if there's many places that give a shall issue concealed carry permit. That you're going to have one guy who's got facial contusions and a bleeding head, the dead guy, and you're not going to believe the guy's self-defense. I mean, that's the textbook you get.
But if you look at the cases the same, it's mm-hmm. like Zimmerman. It's like Zimmerman was the guy who was drunk going into the other guy's property.
I don't think that's the case. He should have gotten an ass whooping. No,
he
I don't.
Wouldn't know he was security.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about this some more. But I got some other stuff that I got to bring up today, especially with Jeremiah Wright. So stick around. It's Reese on the Radio. We'll be right back.
I got something to say to you, boy. Just exactly what you're trying to pull here.
I'm not trying to pull anything.
Well, let me tell you something. You ain't fooling me for a minute. You think I don't see what you are? You're one of those smooth-talking, smart-ass niggas just out for all you can get with your black power and all that other troublemaking nonsense. And as long as you are anywhere around this house, I'm right here watching. You read me, boy? You bring any trouble in here and you just like to find out what black power really means.
What's wrong with being an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Do you want to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times?
Yeah, I think I'd like to be an angry prophet denouncing the hypocrisies of our times.
Then grab it! Grab it!
Mary had a little lamb in Cleveland white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Reese.
Reese on the Radio, and we are back right here. We are live on blogtalkradio.com. 3 minutes after the hour. On this, my brother's birthday, May the 15th, 2012. Happy birthday there, Big Brother Briggs. I've been calling him that since probably for 12 years now. He's my youngest brother, but his nickname is always Big Brother Briggs. Probably because he's a couple of inches taller than me now. At least one. I kind of slouch when I walk, so that's part of the reason why. So happy birthday to you, bro. I'll play you a happy birthday song. I have to. Anyway. So. Arthur Hayhoe. How am I going to send this audio to your people? They're going to hate me once I'm done. They're not going to want to do my show again. No one's going to want to have their client. Your press people, your publicist is never going to put another person on my show after our exchange. It's just never going to happen again. Anyway, by the way, look, we're working really, really hard. I'm trying to do it possibly by Friday. So stick around. Tell your friends. I am going to have Rodney King on this show. I have his publicist
He's got a new book out. It's 20 years after the riots in L.A. I'd like to talk to him, ask him if he still gets headaches, stuff like that. You know, I'm asking him a bunch of questions. But it's Rodney King, for crying out loud. I've never talked to him, so I'd like to talk to him. We talked about this yesterday. Guy by the name of Edward Klein, who wrote a book called The Amateur. It's a book about Barack Obama. And it delves into all of these personal relationships. As we discussed yesterday, in the book, it says that Michelle Obama and Oprah Winfrey have some beef. The two of them don't like each other too much. According to the book, Edward Klein writes that Oprah was a little too hands-on with Obama in his campaign, and Michelle is a jealous woman, and she kind of wanted her to back off. When Michelle Obama wanted to do this eating right sort of initiative for the rest of the country on eating healthy, Oprah wanted to join in and do something on her show in regards to that. But according to Edward Klein's book, Michelle Obama did not want Oprah to be a part of that campaign because she felt Oprah was too fat to do it. Now, that's what they're saying in the book. It's called The Amateur. You can read about it. I think you can look at it on the New York Post online. I think it's nypost.com. You can look at the article. What were the other things? Oh, there were some other things in the book about the Clintons, which was really, really telling. After Hillary Clinton had decided to be Secretary of State, there's a story in there where Bill Clinton is talking to Hillary and telling her that she should run against Barack Obama for this, you know, this election cycle, telling her that, you know, your country needs you. Chelsea, of course, chimed in, according to the book, and says that, yeah, Mom, you know, you would really win. And she's like, no, it would really, really be betrayal. You shouldn't betray. And Bill Clinton goes in there and says there's no such thing as, you know, loyalty in politics. And she suggested, you know, I can always run in 2016. And Bill Clinton said, but I might not be around in 2016. It's some real, real damaging stuff in there. But anyway, the part that is the most amazing to me, because it involves Obama, because it involves Obama. You know, he's my favorite whoopin' boy. And yes, I meant that with the overtones and the undertones. I love it when it's about Obama. This story is out of the mouth of Edward Klein himself, the writer of the book The Amateur, where he talks about Reverend Wright and his three-hour taped conversation with him. Let me see if I got the right audio here.
Well, what happened is that after ABC, Brian Ross broadcast the audio, the videotapes of the Reverend Wright goddamning America and slamming whites and slamming Jews and America, he was contacted by one of Obama's closest personal friends, a guy who travels on Obama's plane, who plays basketball with him, who goes on vacations with him.
And you named this guy for the first time today because you did not name him in the book.
I did name him in the book, but I can tell you who he is. His name is Dr. Eric Whitaker.
Dr. Whitaker
is the vice president of the University of Chicago Medical Center. And he's a member of Obama's very tight inner circle. And he sent an email to a member of the Trinity United Church.
By the way, is this the same hospital Michelle worked at? I'm just trying to get it.
Exactly the same hospital that she worked.
And this is where she got that big raise after he became senator?
She was making, what, $300,000-some-odd?
Yeah, but it was a significant jump up after he became senator.
That's right. And, you know, the Chicago politics is one hand feeds the other, as you know. And Eric Whitaker, very close friend of the Obamas, sent an email to a member of the church saying that the Reverend Wright could get $150,000 if he would shut up and not criticize Obama anymore. Then after the Reverend Rice said no thank you, Obama himself paid a personal call on the Reverend Rice.
When did this personal meeting take place, as face-to-face?
Well, just to put it in context, if you remember, Obama made a big speech.
In Pennsylvania and Philly.
That's right, saying this is his famous race speech, which took place on the 18th of March. About 10 days later, he made the secret meeting with the Reverend Wright, after he'd already denounced him, and begged him to not speak any further. Now, we know this is true not only because the Reverend Wright told me so, but because the Secret Service logs logged in this meeting. So we have confirmation that it actually took place.
All right, so confirmation that the meeting actually took place. Now, the secret meeting, and these are, again, I just want to make this clear. Edward Klein, the writer of the book, The Amateur, taped the conversation with him and Reverend Jeremiah Wright. So Jeremiah Wright is speaking here. This isn't Edward Klein talking for him. And well, in this particular interview, he is. He's speaking for him, but what the tapes establish, what Reverend Wright said to him, which ended up being in the book. It's a three-hour conversation that I believe was either released today or going to be released today. But this is the conversation that he has about what took place at that meeting.
They certainly did. They made it a secret meeting, and Obama said, I'd rather you not speak at the NAACP Freedom Fund dinner and not do the National Press Club appearance. It's going to hurt the campaign if you do that. And I asked the Reverend Wright, well, what did you say? He said, and I'm quoting now, I said, I don't see it that way. And anyway, how am I supposed to support my family? I have a daughter and granddaughter in college whose tuitions I pay. I've got to earn money. And he said, well, I wish you wouldn't speak in public. This is Obama. The press is going to eat you alive. And Obama and Reverend Wright said, how did you two leave? And I asked him, how did you two leave this? And he said, Barack told me, I'm sorry you don't see it that way. Do you know what your problem is? And the Reverend Wright said, no, what's my problem? And Barack said, you have to tell the truth. And Reverend Wright said, that's a good problem to have, Barack.
It's a good problem to have. You can tell the truth. You have to tell the truth. So in essence, all of that stuff, goddamn America, chickens coming home to roost, all of that stuff, in essence, he's saying, look, you're telling the truth, but you can't do it out there on the campaign trail. They're going to eat you alive. It's going to destroy the campaign. So Barack Obama's not saying, hey, you're out there. Well, this is according to Jeremiah Wright. He's not out there saying, hey, listen, you can't be saying that this stuff isn't true. You can't do that. You know, people are going to take this the wrong way. They don't understand you. Saying, look, you're out there telling the truth. Now, this is the part that bothers me the most. This particular piece that I'm about to play to you bothers me the most. I won't tell you how, but I'm pretty sure you'll get it when you hear it.
Reverend Wright is more than angry. He's absolutely fulminating. He feels that he's been thrown under the bus by a man whom he mentored for 23 or 24 years. You know, we, all of us, complain about the fact that Obama sat in that church and listened to that hate speech for 20 years. But what we don't realize is that even before he became a member of the church, he was very close to the Reverend Wright, who was like a second father to him, and who was his spiritual advisor, his political advisor, and in fact, the Reverend Wright told me on tape that Obama came to him and said, I need some spiritual advice. I don't know exactly who I am. And the Reverend Wright said, and this is on tape, well, we know your Islam background and you have that, but what you need now is some coaching on Christianity. And I asked the Reverend Wright, did you convert him from being a Muslim to a Christian? And he said, well, I don't know if I could go that far, but I can tell you that I made it comfortable for him to accept Christianity without having to renounce his Islamic background.
This is Reverend Wright, not Obama. But Reverend Wright is saying that he told him that he made it comfortable for him to accept Christianity while still keeping his Muslim or Islamic roots. All right, gentlemen. Let's get your take on what you've heard.
I don't have a take. This is all hearsay.
It's Jeremiah Wright, for crying out loud. The guy's known for over
20
years.
Jeremiah Wright, a known blowhard and big mouth. So why are we giving this any credence?
You're saying
that's
that,
the question.
Wait. We're giving it credence because here is Audacity of Hope is dedicated to his father figure, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, his spiritual mentor. What do you mean it's not significant? It was Barack Obama who said in that famous rape speech, I could no further denounce him than I can denounce my own blackness. That's what Barack Obama said.
Everybody's got a kook in their closet somewhere.
So you're suggesting that this is just hyperbole.
Basically.
Yeah. I mean, he says it himself. Here's a man. I mean, the author said it himself. Here's a guy who said that he felt thrown under the bus. He felt thrown to the side. Well,
so you think he's scorned?
Huh?
You think he's scorned?
I think it's shower grapes.
Really?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me.
Hell yeah! I mean, the man is just sitting there practically taking credit for everything. And, you know, it's like, well, you know, how dare he leave me out in the cold?
That wouldn't upset you?
Well, I mean, if it was Wright's voice...
It happened the way it did. I mean, but the thing is, you don't want to put your own foot in your mouth. Right? You can't blame that on the guy who's running for president. Right? I mean, come on.
Well, and that, I mean, I guess I figure maybe he thinks that this time around he could maybe market from it, because the first time he should have waited to really blow the whistle or blow his horn after Barack had gotten elected instead of prior to, because nobody really gave him any attention last time. But if I think that was Jeremiah Wright's voice and that was the actual recording of Wright, I think it would have a little more impact. It lacks impact. I mean, where's the climate? The climax, rather.
Well, I don't know. I want to hear more of this tape when it does come out. And, you know, I don't know. I'm expecting some fireworks to happen.
What? I mean, this is along the same lines as Newt's ex-wife. You know, now coming out. And he's back.
To a degree.
he just denounced the guy 4 years ago. At least Newt Gingrich's wife was like some 20-something years ago before he got rid of her.
And they'll be barbecuing and playing spades again when Barack leaves office.
You'll
get the church's fish fries. different now. Reverend Wright's got to learn to keep his damn mouth shut.
Yeah, there you go.
Until after December. Start talking crap in December after the election.
I don't know. Also,
but yeah, save it till February.
Save it till February?
At the inauguration, yeah.
All right. Well, I think that now that this is coming out, I think that Jeremiah Wright is going to have more to say.
Well, of course he is. I mean, as long as somebody's going to listen, and he now has a standpoint, he's the woman scorned.
Well,
that's no fury. You know, he sees an opportunity where he can actually be heard when before no one would have given him any credence had Barack Obama not been attached to him in some way, shape, or form.
Well,
so, yeah, he's going to milk it for all it's worth.
So you're saying that Jeremiah Wright has no significance even though he married Barack and Michelle, he baptized their children, he was a member of the church, he paid tithes to the church.
Why are you guys? Why? I'm here in a med. Sound like we're in a wind chamber.
Let me see if it's JC. It is JC. JC, why?
Oh, so that's my fine. I should also turn that off.
So I don't know why it is, but I don't know. What I will do is, okay, we have to move on. This apparently has no bite with you guys. I think it's got plenty, but, you know, whatever. We'll move on. When we get back, New York's Hot 97. The hip-hop callers, they're not feeling the Barack Obama gay marriage thing. And we've got audio. So I'll download it. I'll put it up on the system, or I'll just set it up in a little bit. When we come back, stick around. We'll be back at 3 Center Radio. Can't believe we've got you. Right where you are, don't go anywhere. 3 Center Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the 5 states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dude Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese. I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States. States.
This is the real state of our union. But you won't hear stories like those at President Obama's address tonight. The unemployed don't get tickets to sit next to the First Lady. Instead tonight, the President will do what he does best. He'll give a nice speech.
The idea of America endures.
A lot of memorable phrases in it.
That our future is hopeful.
But he won't give you the hard numbers.
Our journey goes forward. And the state of our union is strong.
Three years ago, we measured candidate Obama by his hopeful promises and his slogans. Today, President Obama has amassed an actual record of debt, decline, and disappointment. I'd use the State of the Union to lay out an agenda that will get our country back on track and get our fiscal house in order. We need to nominate someone who is an experienced leader, who has the qualities of leadership, the character, the judgment, the seriousness, the sobriety, the capacity demonstrated time and time again as a leader to help guide our party at a critical time and make sure that we hold on to the House, that we capture the Senate, and that we get back the White House and restore to America what is rightfully ours, a great nation, united, free, and prosperous for our kids and for their kids. Thank you so very much.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reason Radio on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
President Barack Obama named himself
one of the country's four best presidents. Better than George Washington, John F. Kennedy, and even Ronald Reagan. But Mr. President was just being modest. He's in fact America's best president at piling on debt. So good that he has managed to pile on nearly as much debt as all the previous presidents combined. All he needed was just 4 years to outspend 220 years of history. We can't afford four more years of America's best president.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right, ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
We're back. It's Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com, 26 minutes after the hour on this, my brother's birthday, May 15th, 2012. I'm only doing this so that when he listens to the show, he can hear me say it. Big Brother Briggs, 31. Getting old, buddy. You're still younger than me, damn it. I wish I was your age. Anyway. So, gay marriage. Gay marriage. And Barack Obama. We talked to the Real Talk Blancers yesterday on the show. We did about an hour with them, and I love those guys. They are our pals. They are friends to this show. We are friends to their show. They're out of Ohio. Excuse me. We do. It's funny because it's great that they allow us to go in on their show, and they're in on our show at the same time, and we literally broadcast together in a joint effort to debate some of the issues about, you know, politics and pop culture. So, and we have a good time. We joke around. And JC and I are a hoot over there. They're fun, too. I love those guys, and I really mean that from the bottom of my heart. JC's been having some great exchanges with them. So I'm going to start communicating with them a lot more. So we talked yesterday about the gay marriage issue, and I made some statements that pretty much just said, hey, listen, the black voter, you know, they're going to support Barack Obama no matter what. Van Jones, who was the former Green Czar in the White House, appointed by Barack Obama, said black people wouldn't matter whether or not he came out and he was gay. Black people are still going to support him. And leave it for the New York hip-hop fans to prove me wrong. Well, to some degree. In D.C., forget about it. They're supporting him. Virginia, they're supporting him. Maryland, not so much. There's a little some beef going on in Maryland. Down in Norfolk, Kool-Aid Man, forget about it, he's supporting them nonetheless. That's James Montgomery. So on New York's Hot 97, Cypher Sounds, and why am I forgetting the other guy's name? Rosenberg. Cypher Sounds and Rosenberg. They do a morning show down there. Rosenberg's a great DJ. He's actually, I think he hangs out here in the D.C. area, if not from here. Does a show on New York's Hot 97, a station I used to work at some decade ago. And this was them on their show, I believe yesterday, talking about Barack Obama coming out for gay marriage. And they took some calls.
On the situation. Good, finally.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know why it's so hard to say it anyways.
It's because then you won't get votes from certain people.
Oh, okay. Man, you know how many gay people vote?
I'd rather have that vote.
And spend money?
Yeah. Oh, spend so much money.
Well,
they got so much disposable money, it's pathetic, because they don't have to worry about kids.
Well, hopefully now they do, but yes.
I'm just saying.
Well, they can adopt.
But I'm just saying.
No, but they say, because they call it, I think it's called Dink.
Dual income, no children.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, see, like, so I'm not making it up, right?
Yeah. They got that disposable money.
Well, supposedly,
how much for that dinner? Like, 40,000?
Two plates, please.
Thanks, George.
Well, supposedly,
I'm going to buy an extra plate just to go home.
$90 million in 3 hours.
That's crazy, though. What
existed.
Do you mean? Like,
well, this isn't just from gay people. This is from people. You know, he had a lot of constituents out there who were love Obama, but they were waiting for that thing that made them want to go online and give him some money. And when he went out yesterday and said it, I think it was like, all right, cool. I want
to take a stand on something.
Yes. They were happy. I wish he'd done it sooner, but I'm happy he did it, man. I'm happy he did it. Actually, here's President speaking about it.
At a certain point, I've just concluded that for me personally, it is important for me to go ahead and affirm that I think same-sex couples should be able to get married.
I bet you there goes his Ohio votes.
Yeah, so North Carolina, definitely.
Are you kidding me?
What's wrong with him?
The sad part is, amazingly, there are people in New York whose votes he just lost.
Yeah. You're kidding me.
No question about it. I have been doing radio for a long time.
Now, here's the part that bothers me the most. They're talking about people in Ohio, and you notice they put this hick voice on them. You kidding me? That's because nobody's as sophisticated as New Yorkers. Even on the nigger network that plays volatile, disgusting, call your woman a bitch, call your fellow man a nigger network like Hot 97. They've got the nerve to be elitist and talk about Ohio. Our good friends, the Real Talk Blancers, are out in Ohio, and they're talking to them like they're a bunch of hicks and hayseeds. The dredges of the earth who push poison through the ears of children are acting like elitists, like people in Ohio. Oh, some people in Ohio. What do you say? I find it incredible. We continue.
Whenever I talk about this issue, I am shocked by how many people call up and are upset with the idea of supporting same-sex marriage, even in New York, even in 2012.
Well, ask those people right now. Anyone in New York City right now is disappointed that Obama made this announcement. Call us up 800-223-9797 or tweet us at BPJHot97.
In other words, if you're stupid, call us right
now. My God.
Is that what you're saying?
There you go.
You see that? Now you're stupid if you disagree.
I think same-sex couples should be able to get married.
And I think the only thing that's disappointing, if there's anything, I'm very happy about it. The only thing I'm disappointed at all is that it took so long to do. Because when we voted for President Obama, we knew he believed in same-sex marriage. We know he's a progressive guy. And I'm excited that he finally did it. I'm hoping that once he gets into the second term, without having to worry about another election, we'll really see him start, you know, stepping up and doing things like this more regularly. But I think a lot of us are very happy and proud of the president.
Well, Kai on Twitter says that he's just desperate for a vote. It feels like a political move, right?
When
he did it right now.
Everything they do is a political move. But, I mean, he still feels it.
Yes.
Yeah. Everything, yeah. Political move. Nothing disingenuous about that there, Cypher. Nothing disingenuous there, Rosenberg.
Exactly.
He still
believes in that. So.
I
that's
something he's just doing.
Yeah, he instilled that policy in the army.
It's not like he looked at two pieces of paper and goes, should we save whales or should I say I support gays?
Yeah,
let's go with the gays.
Yeah, no, I think he actually cared about
whales
it.
Whales can't vote.
And the whales never spend.
Yeah, never. Who's on the line, Jake?
We got Anthony.
Anthony, how do you feel about Obama? You're not feeling him, huh?
No, because I'm totally against that same-sex marriage, man. I mean, I'm 27. I grew up in my days where a female's supposed to marry a female, supposed to marry a female.
Oh.
But what is their love life or their decisions? How does it affect you? Why does it make you so upset?
Because you got the younger generation of today's society growing up. I mean, if you have a kid, would you want your kid marrying? If he's a boy, would you want him marrying another guy? Or
if he was
gay, would you want your daughter to marry another girl?
I want my child to be happy.
The emotions, feelings, it's not the same, though. I'm totally against it. I mean, I'm born and raised in New York. My parents are from Guyana. I mean, that would never go in Guyana, you know?
Never go in Guyana, folks. Never go in Guyana.
Which is ironic because it has the word gay in it.
Stop it.
Sorry.
Has the word guy in it, doofus.
has the word guy in it, not gay.
You mean gay, Anna?
Yeah, that's right.
Jennifer, you will not vote for Obama because of what he just said.
Definitely not.
Why?
I don't know. I've never liked gay people.
Oh!
Okay, it's fine. I love this. I freaking love this.
Jennifer, you know how disgusting that sounds?
All right, maybe let me rephrase that. I'm not saying I don't like gay people. I don't really agree with what they're into. I don't agree with.
So then just don't think about it. It has nothing to do with you.
It has to do with marriage, doofus. It has nothing to do with liking or disliking gays. It has to do with marriage, which of course these boneheads are not smart enough to see because they don't care.
I don't think about it. I'm just saying you asked the question, and I'm not going to vote for Obama because I feel like it was all like a little, he knew he was losing votes. So he was like, you know what, let me think of something real quick to get everybody's attention. And that's what he did, because honestly, why he wanted to do this now when election day is right, you know?
But that doesn't change the fact that you are against same-sex marriage for no good reason. I mean,
there is no good reason.
And that's the bottom line. Well, thanks, Jennifer, for your disgustingness.
Yeah, that was really fantastic. I'm amazed, man. Even in New York City, yesterday I sat there and bashed North Carolina for voting to ban in gay marriage. And then in New York, you hear that there are still people whose thought process, I'm sorry, is very dated, man. It's 2012.
A lot of the callers are saying that the point of marriage is to have kids, so that has to be a man and a woman. This guy on line 3 says, man is born for woman.
Achoo, okay.
Oh, wow, that sounds, literally, you sound like a caveman. You sound like a caveman.
I can't even play anymore. I'm sorry that the Hot 97, I mean, are they idiots or what over there?
That's idiot radio on both sides.
Isn't it? The listeners are worse than... I don't know who's worse, to be honest with you. Are the listeners worse than the actual DJs? Like, nobody's informed on the issue. It's like they woke up one morning and said, Obama said he supports gay marriage. Let's talk about it. Anybody have a point of view or any history on this or any background? No, they just come in and say, okay, we support Barack Obama, and we'll just take calls. It's
Listen.
Like there's no thought process.
Listen. Yeah, idiots on one end of the mic, and you got the idiots on the other end of the phone. And the ones on the other end of the phone, especially Mr. Thug was talking about he was brought up in the Bronx. More than likely, he's some on-the-low clown who's upset because his boyfriend at some point, when he's on the low with, is going to say, wait a minute, marriage now? The president supports it. Why don't you? Well, you idiot.
If you like it, then you should have put a ring on it.
I got a girl and a baby at home. That's why I don't want to marry you.
Yeah,
you know?
The thing about Hot 97 was the fact that there were people on Hot 97 who were suggesting that they were not for it. And the thing that would make this for me even worse was the fact that Rosenberg refers to them as ignorant and stupid. Because they're against it.
Wait a minute. Why is that offending you? You do that daily.
What is that supposed to mean? Oh, no. No, no,
you,
no.
You refer to people as idiots? Stupid.
I refer
to... You do this daily. How is it that since... how is it any different?
I refer to people as idiots for good reason, James. No. Listen to what you're saying. When I refer to people as idiots, I'm referring to them as idiots when they try to silence others and think that their point matters more than anybody. I believe that everybody should have a fair exchange of ideas. I've never ever told anybody that they were idiots because they didn't agree with me. I've called them idiots because they didn't even consider the other side.
Okay. They didn't consider the other side. All right. Well, you know, getting back to this. They did have a fair exchange of ideas. They allowed them to call in and have their say. When asked why,
they didn't have any good reason. I've got to give you that.
No, none of that.
It was fair. Okay, it may have been fair.
So how was it not fair?
No,
I mean,
no,
come
no,
on.
No, 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 no. James, I'm not suggesting that it wasn't fair for him to call those two callers idiots. But to suggest
No.
Those two callers,
hey, keep that.
Listen, even though those two callers don't agree with gay marriage, their reasons are without merit. They're idiots. I'm not disputing that. But he's saying about the vote in North Carolina, the fact that there were people who were opposed to it, for some odd reason, those people were hayseed hicks or dumb. That's ridiculous.
I'm not in North Carolina, they are, but maybe not Ohio.
That's not. Well, in that case, okay, look at it this way. There are only 7 states that have voted for same-sex marriage. There are 32 who voted against it.
I know, same 32 are marrying cousins and siblings.
No, they're not. Actually, they're not. That's, first of all, that there's no truth to that at all, JC. And
I can name the states.
Hold on. Really? How about California? California is a bunch of marry your cousins?
Hold on, I guarantee you it's legal.
Well, no. First of all, in California, here's the thing. In California, 70% of the black vote voted against gay marriage in that state. Even though it was overturned by a judge, the state voted and they voted against same-sex marriage. And a judge suggested to the citizens, you are not evolved enough to vote on this. You shouldn't have even been involved. It was unconstitutional to make you vote for it or have you vote for it.
All right, well,
okay. So the
I
people,
still think it is. I mean,
but James, one thing that we always talk about on this show and we talk about in political forums all the time, especially African Americans, they always say that their vote doesn't count, right? They say, you know what, my vote don't count anyway. Here their vote counted, and a judge overruled it and said your vote don't count. I mean, come on.
They said in the first place.
But wait. Here's the thing.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You just said this was their standpoint all along. Then they actually come out and vote, and it gets overturned.
And who was it overturned by? A gay liberal judge. You know what I'm saying? So you ask black people all day, my vote don't count, my vote don't count. It's the Republicans. Here was somebody from their own side that said, hey, you voted against same-sex marriage. You're an idiot. And because I'm gay and a judge, we're just going to say that your voting was unconstitutional and I'm going to actually allow gay marriage to happen. Because you're not smart enough to vote on this. So here, all the arguments about their vote not counting.
No one ever said anything about you're not smart enough. He said it was unconstitutional.
It was unconstitutional to allow them to vote? Are you kidding me? Unconstitutional.
Didn't allow them to
vote? For you to vote? That is your constitutional right.
Yeah, it's also your constitutional right for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Hold on.
All right? And it's unconstitutional for the law to tell anyone that who they can and cannot marry.
Based on what law? There's no law in the Constitution that defines. There's no law in the Constitution. None whatsoever. There's no law in the Constitution on marriage except for marriage between a black man and a white woman or interracial marriage. That's the only law in the books.
Okay, so if it's not a law against, why can't they get over it? If there's no law whatsoever,
right?
There's no law whatsoever that a man and a woman should be allowed to be married. It was not there in the first place. Why are you voting?
Because the constitutional amendment that happened in the Loving case, as we talked about on this show, when we talked about it on the anniversary of the Lovings. He was a white man and she was a black woman, right? And they got married in one state. They moved to another and the police broke into their home. They were sleeping in the bed together and they charged them with breaking the law by being married in another state as an interracial couple because the law did not allow it there. And that case went to the Supreme Court and it was ruled unconstitutional to stop one man and one woman from being married, particularly because of their race. based upon their race. That's unconstitutional. Because the tenets of marriage means that one man can marry one woman. The law of being married has nothing to do with the color of your skin. That is discrimination. There should never be any discrimination of marriage based on somebody's color. Nothing in that Supreme Court ruling has anything to do with sexual orientation. The Lovings were not two men or two women.
Okay. Unconstitutional to be discriminated against.
No. Discriminated against based on color.
Okay. And as I said, there is nothing on the books that says that a man and a woman cannot get married.
Now there is. In North Carolina, they voted to actually have it added, an amendment in the Constitution preventing same-sex marriage in North Carolina. And they're doing it, and have done it in other states.
Now, and you're saying that's not discriminatory.
Of course it's discriminatory, but for good reason.
But it's unconstitutional.
There's no such thing. It's not unconstitutional because there is nothing constitutionally that makes a church marry a man and a man based on Judeo-Christian values, which is what this country was built on.
Well, I think that the whole marriage thing is going to get shot down in every state, and it's going to come down to civil unions, which at the end is going to get decided in the courts. But, again, we're talking about, again, this state. You still can marry your first cousin and get an exception to marry your sibling.
It doesn't matter. It's man and woman, and as long as you procreate
it's
and the
sick.
Hold on. I know it's sick. I'm not disputing that it's sick. But, you know, there are laws to prevent that. You know, there was the Columbia University professor, 46-year-old guy, who was arrested and charged for having sex with one of the students who turned out to be his daughter.
Turned out to be? Well, he didn't know.
He knew.
It turned out to be.
All right. In California. California is one of those states where you can marry your
daughter.
Well, it always was his daughter, but we found out that it was his daughter because when I read the article. But here's the scary part. This is what I'm talking about, James. And this is why I'm saying that it's like absolutely a perversion of what it is that they're trying to do. Try this off for size, right? So after the professor was arrested, the faculty of the school went to social networks and turned around and said that they didn't see anything wrong with the two having sex because of the fact that they were consenting adults. So to them, anything, to these liberals, anything is permissible. You know, it's funny how people can rag on Mitt Romney because he's a Mormon, and they say, oh, you know, the Mormons, they have five or six wives. But at the same time, they go, oh, you know, you can't discriminate against the Muslims, even though they have 72 children and 9 wives. And then they go, oh, but gay marriage is cool. Well, so, wait. You can't have 5 wives if you're a Mormon. You can have 7 wives if you're Muslim, because you can't disrespect their religion and their way of life. And we should allow same-sex marriage. They're all over the place with this.
Well, okay, now that I can agree with. You know, there are things that may be all over the place, but, you know, sex with your sibling or sex with your child, I mean, that's just, like, wrong.
Okay, so that's my point. So, again, this is what I'm talking about with the craziness with liberalism, is that they were okay with this father having sex with his daughter in college because they were consenting adults.
Well, not all liberals were. Now, come on, Anders. You can't blame them. All liberals for the
the standpoint of a few who were more than likely just wanted to get their faces in the paper.
Are you kidding me? It's no, they were on a social network. That's how they were found out that they were supporting this. They said that they're consenting adults. What can you do? She's in her 20s. He's in his 40s. They're smart enough to know, you know, what they're doing, whether or not they want to or they don't. The bottom line is that this is Columbia University faculty, Columbia University students who are sitting around saying that this is okay. Not only are they liberal, but they're supposed to be the brightest minds.
Yeah, well, there goes that theory.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. It's absolutely insane.
But once again, I was just going to want to reiterate on some of the reasons that these people said. All right, like the guy from the Bronx who said, well, because he wouldn't want his kids around that. You know, there's this belief that gay is catching.
Well,
you know,
hold on. He's got a point there. Let me explain to you why he's got a point there. Okay? Let me tell you why. Let's say his kid is straight. We're not suggesting that his kid is gay. Well, let's say his kid is straight. 9 times out of 10, of course the kid's going to grow up straight. So the kid is straight.
Okay.
The kid grows up is straight. He's got a kid. He knows his kid is straight. He knows his kid likes girls. He's always hugging girls. He's always kissing girls. When he sees big boobs, he always runs to her. We all said that about our children.
Look at him. He's going for her. She's got the boobs. Yeah, that's my boy.
We all do that. Okay? So then he finds out, as he's growing older, that homosexuality is socially accepted. That's okay to do. So now he finds out that he's got sexual options. Now, James, he's a straight guy who now has sexual options because it's become a social norm now. It's the new norm.
You know what? Again, with that whole black and white thing, you know, sexual orientation, okay, is not something that's pretty much even thought about. It's usually on an instinctual level. You know who you like and who you don't.
But I'm not.
Doesn't matter what everybody else is doing or who anybody else is doing.
I know plenty of people. Plenty of people. I know one particular girl who calls herself one of these, it's a weird word, like a parasexual or some weird stuff that means anything goes. She was never this way when she was growing up. All of a sudden, she can have sex with anything. Doesn't matter. You find it sexually attractive, I can have it. And that's the whole point.
And that's her matter.
You know what? Whether it was considered a social norm or not, if that was the type of person she was, then that's the type of person she was or is.
Wait.
There is. I mean, look, she grew up that way with all the bans, all right, and all the taboo of sexual orientation. She still grew up wanting to try it all.
But the point is that that's a product of.
If it ain't happening anyway, what is the point?
You're just killing me. By the way, so do you think Obama's going to lose the election?
I'm killing you?
Yeah, you're killing me. So before we go, Barack Obama, is he going to lose votes in the black community?
First and foremost, like I said, he's not going to lose many, and I bet you half those people who called in don't vote anyway.
You're probably right about that one. I gotta hear this girl again. Let me see if I can get her. If I can get her audio again. Hold on. Let me see if I can get this right. Oh, come on. Why is it pausing?
Oh.
world because of what he just said.
Definitely not.
Why?
I don't know. I've never liked gay people.
Oh,
oh my
wow.
God.
Okay, sorry. Jennifer, you know how disgusting that sounds?
Oh, she's my favorite.
She said, I never liked gay people.
All right, I'm going to take a break. Say happy birthday to my brother when we get back. It's Reese on the radio.
Hi, Bill Maher here. Sarah Palin agreed to do commentary at Fox News, which is actually very similar to her day job, talking to a baby with Down syndrome. Speaking of dumb dogs, it's not because they have breasts, it's because they are boobs.
I hope Sarah Palin gets in so that they split the MILF vote.
That's not sexist.
I would like to announce a donation to the Obama Super PAC.
I thought about Malia and Sasha. I want them to be able to speak their mind in a civil and thoughtful way, and I don't want them attacked or called horrible names because they're being good citizens.
I would like to give that PAC $1 million. Sarah Palin, the strange family of inbred weirdos. She fucked Levi over and over until a baby fell out. The Maverick and the Milk. They fined CBS $1 million for Janet Jackson's nipple. Think what they could get for Hillary Clinton's cunt. That's not sexist.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse.
She is the chair of the Democratic National Committee.
I don't know any woman in America that thinks that being called a slut is funny.
Please welcome Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Being part of a democracy involves argument and disagreements and debate, and there's a way to do it that doesn't involve you being demeaned and insulted.
Speaking of dumb dogs, this is a Category 5 moron we have on our hands, and I am unapologetic.
Top 10 highlights of Sarah Palin's trip to New York City. Number 2, bought makeup at Bloomingdale's, update her slutty flight attendant look.
I'm going to try to lead by example.
During the 7th inning, her daughter was knocked up by Alex Rodriguez.
To send a message to all our young people, I'm going to try to lead by example.
Speaking of dumb twats, Maher decided to help President Obama out and give him a financial boost.
He's donated $1 million.
Last week, I said goodbye to $1 million. I made a contribution to Obama's Super PAC.
This ends up being a teachable moment.
I wouldn't put anything past this stupid country.
All decent folks can agree. The remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse. I'm going to try to lead by example in this situation.
You're seeing a president adopt policies which affect our economy based not upon what's right for the American worker, but instead what's right for their politics. The National Labor Relations Board, now stacked with union stooges selected by the president, says to a free enterprise like Boeing, you can't build a factory in South Carolina because South Carolina is a right-to-work state. That is simply un-American. It's political payback of the worst kind. It is wrong for America, and it is something that will stop under my administration. I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Reese on the radio, we're back. That's our show for the day. We'd like to thank Arthur Hayhoe for calling in. A heated debate. I don't know exactly what it is that happened. But I don't know. He's a little quirky to me. Let me just read this real quick. A newly crowned beauty queen from Fiji who sparked an outcry because of her mixed heritage was asked to give up her title because of her age, not race, according to pageant officials. 16 years old in a beauty pageant. I thought it was something. Oh, God. I love it when they start stories out about it being about race. Didn't even have anything to do with race. I thought I was already piquing my interest. That's our show.
We'll take a break.
Big Brother Briggs, happy birthday, man. I hope you're out there partying. We'll see you tomorrow. Free Summer Radio.